Children are a great blessing from God. There's no doubt about that. But what about teenagers? Yes, today is Teenage Day. Do you remember when you were a teenager? Wasn't it great to be a teenager? I must honestly say, if I could go back and be any age, it wouldn't be teenager. It was tough. It was great. It was good. But it wasn't so great. It wasn't so good. It's tough. The hardest job that a parent will ever encounter is a teenager. Now, that is a broad stroke. You could have a teenager that is indeed God's gift to you and a blessing and never gives you any problems at all. I think the Lord has already given all of those out. My wife, I think, was the last one. The rest of us have to deal with teenagers. Mark Twain said, when a boy turns 13, put him in a barrel and feed him through a knot hole. When he turns 16, plug the hole. I probably just should say, amen, stand and sing. Today I would like to encourage our parents. Those whose children you pray live long enough to be teenagers. Those of you who have teenagers that they will live to be adults. But seriously, to help encourage both teens and parents, because it is definitely a challenge. I will say this, that looking back as a father, now as a grandfather, when children are 4 and 5, there are all sorts of challenges. Just the fact that a child learns how to tie their own shoes is awesome. And I don't know where the Velcro shoes were when my kids were little, but man, that was an awesome invention, Velcro shoes for little kids. They can put on their own shoes. But when a child becomes a teen, there are whole new challenges. In fact, about the time, the first 12 years, you think as a parent, you've got it figured out, you've got this all worked out, and you know exactly what to do, when to do it. And then when 13 happens, it's just like, presto, it all just kind of changes. It's a new book, new rules, new challenges. And raising teens, wow. It can be tough. Which one of us as parents would have loved to have had a megaphone to be able to talk to our teens and get their attention? And yet we find the instruction, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Well, have you ever thought why that's there? Because a father can provoke his children to anger. And it's very easy for fathers, kind of the testosterone, you know, alpha male thing, is that here's how you resolve things. You just talk louder. And yet E.F. Hutton said a long time ago, if you want someone's attention, whisper. But bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The battle is not won in regards to who is the loudest. That is not true. I'm not saying there's not a time to be loud, but there's a time to whisper as well, because the The proverb says a soft answer turns away wrath. So if you put those two things together, a father must learn to talk to his teens in a whisper so as not to provoke. Now, probably most of us are still working on that one. And as a father and as a grandfather, I don't have all the answers. But I have been there and bought the hat and the t-shirt and learned a couple of things and wish I had done a few things differently. Raising teens, a father must not exasperate your children. That is to discourage or cause to lose heart. You know, when your child is 4, you might not feel like you're in total control, but you are in total control. If you can't control a four-year-old, you're in a heap of trouble, parent. Because when they're 13 and 14 and 15, it's a whole new ball game. And we must learn to encourage them, motivate them, but we also must learn not to expect too much. That happens even with a 4-year-old. A 4-year-old innocently, accidentally, spills their milk. And it's easy for us just to lose control because we expect them to be 21. And if you're as a parent, you're expecting your 4-year-old to act like they're 21, what do you expect your 13-year-old to act like? You're going to be in for a rude awakening. There are 13-year-olds who act 21. There are 13-year-olds who act like they're 4. And if you have 10 of them, they're all going to be different. That's the challenge. The challenge is being a parent. God still says, fathers, do not exasperate your children that they may not lose heart. You've got to do what you've got to do. And yet not get to the point where you just overwhelm them to where they just give up and quit. And that happens. Sports is a means by which you can teach a child a lot of things. But I have honestly seen parents that were the worst possible teaching or teacher or an encourager to their kids in that sport. The kid would do much better in the sport if the parent would have stayed home. And I'm afraid that is the same thing in regards to just teaching a child about going to Bible class, about singing during worship service, about any aspect of being godly. You have to be careful. It's not just do as I say or else mentality. You must answer why. And you must answer how. And you must be good at teaching that. Most of us aren't. Most of us aren't. But you must learn. Is this how your conversation goes with your teen? Now, for many a parent, if you're talking to them very seriously, and your child, in some way, just acts or does something as if they're not paying any attention or could care less, that is just going to raise all kinds of major conflict and tension in the family. Number one, teens, don't do that. If your parents are talking to you, you listen to them. Give them respect and appreciation. Parents, don't allow your teenager to do that to you. But you remember the days when you had those conversations? Remember the day when you could sit down with your kid and talk to them and those cute little eyes would look up at you and just worship the ground you walked on and just listen to everything you said? What happened to those days? It's called becoming a teenager. Teenagers are in an awkward stage of life. 4-year-old, you expect them to... But if you got a 14-year-old, it's still... There's the problem. The fact is, we try to help our children and teach our children to sit down and listen to us. But you're fighting a battle that as long as your child is in your home, it will get worse if it doesn't get better. So your challenge is, as a parent, to be able to be a father, to be a mother, and not exasperate, not to provoke, but teach them and train them, and them not lose heart. That's simple, right? No. That is an extremely difficult job. And if you as a parent take that as a flippant, not really a big deal chore, then you're in for trouble. It's serious business. Teaching teens, there's two sources of wisdom. I mentioned this last week. In James 3, verses 14 through 18, most of you are familiar with that text. And I'm not going to read it, but to refer you to it, please reference this, James 3, 14 through 18, where James talks about there are two sources of wisdom. There is earthly and there is heavenly. The earthly comes from Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, etc. No, philosophy is not new to the 21st century. It has been plaguing man for centuries. And it's up against God's Word. There are lots of psychologists and philosophers out there. They have all sorts of differing ideas. We talked about that last week as well. But I want to suggest to us that is going to be your challenge, is that you're going to have to be able to fight against, to teach against, to help your child understand the difference in what they say and what God says. You're going to have to be able to show what's most important when it comes to, well, my friends say, and what God says. You're faced with the challenge of being able to defend God's Word and show them that that's the right way to go, as opposed to, well, everybody else is doing it this way. That's your challenge. And when you just say, because I said so, won't get it. The reality of teaching a child God's way really takes a lot of pressure off of you. Just eliminate as a parent, because I said so, from your vocabulary. And I mentioned last week, there may be some times that it just comes down to, I said so. Okay. But when they become teenagers, you're going to have to really come up with something better than that. Like this. Because God said so. So here's your challenge. Your challenge is, when you're dealing with your teenagers, that you're trying to defeat the wisdom out there and use God's Word as the basis of the wisdom of which your child needs to obey. So here's the pressure off of you. When you're teaching your child and your teenager says, why? Why? You're going to say, well, because God said right here, this is what you're supposed to do if you want to go to heaven. Can you do that? You need to learn to. Colossians 2 and verse 8 talks about, Paul warns us about the philosophies of the world. And he says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception. Notice that. No one takes you captive. Our children are out there in the world as teens in schools that are very humanistic. I know we live in Lauderdale County, and I know we are closer to biblical kinds of views as a general perspective. But I'm telling you, in Lauderdale County, Limestone County, in Kentucky, in Alabama, we are still in the Bible Belt. And when you teach the Bible, you use the belt. And when you're in the Bible belt, you still have lots of people that don't believe in the belt or the Bible. So your teens are up against what they see at school. Transgenderism, homosexuality. Here's the challenge. They think that's cool. All their friends are being accepting of that. Then you come home, they come home, and you've got to deal with, what does the Bible say? What does God say? That's a challenge. And your children are very capable of being deceived, just like anybody else. And it's your job to keep them from being deceived by that kind of philosophy. In Acts 17, there's an example there of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophies. And Paul was up against that on Mars Hill, preaching and teaching God's will. And you'll notice here in this text, here's the attitude. And also some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers were conversing with him, and some were saying, what would this idle babbler wish to say? So here, parents, just brace for it, because it's going to happen. Your kid is going to hear something about, whether it's drinking, alcohol, dancing, whatever it is, sex. And then they're going to come home, and somehow or another that conversation is going to come around. And then you're going to take the Bible and you're going to say, now here's what the Bible says. And your kid is going to laugh at that, because that's what their friends do. Oh, not my little Susie. Not my little Johnny. They go to Bible class. Prepare yourself. Because that philosophy of the world is very strong and very deceptive. One of the challenges are that teens are so smart today. I mean, it's just hands down, a 13-year-old today versus 13-year-old in the 60s. There's just night and day difference. Kids today just know so much. And what do? We brag on our kids how smart they are. Well, they're in the fourth grade and they're reading at a ninth grade level. That's great. That's wonderful. But it's also a curse. Because your kid grows up and is the smartest kid around, they, that is teens, may develop an arrogance. And I believe we have created a seedbed for our teens to rebel. And teens have always rebelled to a certain degree against their parents, because they feel like that they're smarter than their parents. Now, back when I was a teenager, my mom and dad did not finish high school. My dad went to the eighth grade. That's as far as he went. So the time I finished high school, was into college, who do you think is the smartest one in the house? I'll tell you who it was. It was me. I was the smartest one. My parents are a bunch of idiots. Guess what, parents? You're an idiot too. Because your kids are so smart. You've told them that since they were born. And as a result, they grow up, they think they know everything. You can't tell them anything. Again, this is a broad stroke. If you've got a teenager that's not this way, praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. It's just kind of part of what it is. Education goes to their head. The reality of it is, many leave home who were raised to go to church, go to Bible class, and they go off to college and they lose their faith. I really want to seriously take a little survey of just since I've been here at Anderson over the past 6 years. Where have our teens gone? Where are they? Where are the ones we've got going? I think we're going to be disappointed. And why? Parents were losing the battle at home. Can the church take some blame? Sure. Can the preacher? Sure. Elders? Sure. Where's God going to put the blame? On the parents. You're the ones addressed on raising your children. They think church and the Bible's for kids. Now, I understand this, but I'm just giving it as an example. Vacation Bible School. What is that for? Well, that's for our kids. And I understand that. When you get together and you sing, you know, booster, booster. There is a sense in which that's for kids. But there's a point at which a kid is too old to go to Vacation Bible School. We don't have high school classes anymore in our Vacation Bible School. Why? Because our teens don't come. Why? Well, they got jobs, they got sports, they got this, they got that. And I understand that. But what are we saying when we do that? Well, I think they get the point. Vacation Bible School is for kids. And they translate that. Church and Bible classes are for kids. Church is for kids and old people trying to go to heaven. Everybody in between? We don't have time. We're working. We got school. We're busy. That's the message we are sending out, brethren. Like it or not. That's the message. That's why you have so many who are refusing to obey Christ. You may not have ever heard this, thought about it, but there are great statistics to show and prove this very point. It's the teenage years that a child becomes a Christian, most usually. When they bypass that window, usually they do not obey. There are exceptions. There are exceptions. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 25 and 27, this is a great passage, parents, that you ought to be familiar with and talk to your kids about. And that is simply this: because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. You need to preach that, preach that, preach that, teach that, remind them of that. And even if they roll their eyes, even if they just want to put their fingers in their ears, I know that, I know, you told me that yesterday. You tell them every day. Because they're going to be deceived by the world and the philosophies of the world, and they're so smart that the Bible is foolishness. When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much he had learned in 7 years. That's me. I thought my parents were ignorant. I was the only one of our family, both sides, that ever gone to college. That had to make me a genius. Until I got married and had kids, and I thought, my parents were geniuses. And I just didn't know it. I'm the idiot. No, there are few people that really have that awakening. Spiritually speaking, most never do. Teens tend to follow the crowd. You think that's true? I think it's absolutely true. All these people can't be wrong. Dad! Everybody at school is going. I want to be with my friends. Man, this is a heartbreaker. Just get used to it. It's happening. When your kids are 4, mommy, mommy, mommy. Daddy, daddy. 14, who are you? Again, that's a broad stroke. There are differences. There are exceptions. I love my grandkids. My oldest one now is 10. They love to be with my mom and grandpa. They love to be with mom and dad. Day's coming. My grandsons, they don't want to care about grandpa. You know what? Because they want to be with their friends. How come? Because their friends are cool. Grandpa is old. He don't do nothing cool. That's why a lot of old people have to go see Doc. It's because they're trying to be cool with their grandkids and they get hurt. Okay? The reality of it, parents, is that your children are going to want to be with their friends. And they want to do things with their friends. Everybody else is going, oh, let's all go to the ball game and miss church. Why? Because everybody's going, Dad. Tell me that is not a problem. Maybe not. Dad, nobody else is going to Bible school. I'm not going to go. All my friends are not going. Think that's a problem? My friends' parents don't care. They're cool. You know, when you as a parent, it finally dawns on you that you're not cool anymore, it's going to rip your heart out. You love it when the day when your kids think you're just right up there a hero with Superman. Then at some point in time, they're going to think you Daffy Duck. Exodus 23 and verse 2, do not follow a crowd to do evil. There is a tendency with teens to do just that. Matthew 7, verse 13. What did Jesus say? The straight and narrow. The narrow way. Few there be that find it. That includes teens. Parents, you've got to work extra hard. You've got to know these passages and talk to your kids about it. Teens just want to have fun. I couldn't wait to get a car. I bought a car. A 58 Chevy. Couldn't wait to go out on a date with a girl. Big, you know, straight seat across the front. It was real slick. I armor-alled it. Man, she could sit on the other side. And literally, this is where she sat right here where this monitor is. And here's how I'm driving. I mean, she was that far away. But I learned how to turn that car. And with those armor-alled seats, that baby would be sitting right over here on my side. Just whip her over and she'd be right there. Do you know why I went out on dates? So I could do that. I wanted to have fun. And you talk to your kids about that and you think your kids are going to say, Daddy, I would never do anything like that. I don't even want to do... Who are you kidding? They want to go out with their friends and drink and smoke and have sex. And I mean, that's what they want to do. So what are you going to do about that? Just let them go. Let them sow their wild oats. You'll never let me have any fun with my friends. I thought my parents were the meanest old people at 16. It's crazy. You know really what I found out later? They didn't want me to go out and have fun, the kind of fun that I wanted to have and they knew I wanted to have because they were 16 and they wanted to do the same thing. You see, parents, you don't forget you were 16. God bless you if you have taught your kids and you have helped them to understand to be good and to go out and to live their lives as a godly person. That's what you're striving for. But don't ever, ever be deceived that your little Johnny would never, your little Susie, oh, she would never. She'd be right in the front seat kissing on that guy that you just hate her to be around. And you probably won't even know anything about it. Now what? All my friends are going to the party. Don't be at the party. You're so mean. When teenagers start telling you you're mean, it's coming. Just write it down. I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but it's coming. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 9 is certainly a passage that you need to have as a parent at your disposal to use, to teach to your children regularly. Solomon made it very, very clear about his kids and having fun. Notice what he said. Rejoice, young man, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of your young manhood, and follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Parents, you ought to be encouraging your children to not be a wallflower. You need to get them out there. Let them do things. Let them experience life and to enjoy life and to get involved with things. Play football. Play basketball. Do whatever. Get on the checker team or the chess team. You know, do something different. That's great. You're only going to be young one time. But then read the rest of the verse. The rest of the verse says, yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. There are guidelines. There are boundaries. You need to tell your children that. As opposed to your children thinking you're just an old fuddy-duddy and you don't ever want them to have any fun and you say no to everything. Don't say no to everything. If it's godly, if it's good, if it's righteous, let them participate. But there are boundaries. These are the things you can't do. You should not go here or do that. You need to spell it out. My mother used to say this about teens. She said, teens don't know what they want. You have to tell them what they want. I used to think that was insulting. Because I heard that when I was a teen. After all, I'm smarter than them. What are they doing talking to me? I'm Socrates. I'm Aristotle here. Later, I found out I was a fool. I really did. What do you need to teach your teen? What do you need to say to them? They need to obey you. You talking to your teen and they're putting their fingers in their ears, there's consequences. There has got to be consequences. I don't think you get out the belt and start spanking them when they're 13, 14, 15 years old, but there's consequences. It's got to hurt somewhere. They need to honor you. You see, that obey and honor thing is not for just four-year-old kids. You're going to talk back to your parents? You're going to sass your parents? There's consequences. Why? Because God told you to obey me. God told you to honor me. It's my job to see that you do that. That's tough. That's hard. It's easier just to let it go. They roll their eyes one more time. Well, big deal. I used to roll my eyes when my parents talked to me too. Yeah, that made it right. That made it right. You need to teach them to know God. Remember the Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 7 that I had everybody to memorize on Sunday night? There was a reason behind that. It's a great text. And you're, as a parent, you ought to know that by heart. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. You need to know that. But guess what? Your kids need to know that too. You should make your kids memorize that passage and say it regularly and talk about it regularly because it's absolutely true. Someone said, talking about sex, said, if you don't tell your child the truth about sex, they will learn a lie from someone else. And that's true. If they go to school and go into the bathrooms, they'll read it on the wall. Is that the way you want your kid to learn? Is from the bathroom wall? Or you want to sit down and have that embarrassing, tough conversation about the birds and the bees and all that goes with it? I've had parents call me and say, would you mind talking to my kids about that? I can't talk to them. I understand. It's tough. It was hard for me to talk to my daughter, my son about that. It's hard. But you got to do it. You need to teach your teen responsibility. This is my daughter's room. Whether it's cooking, taking out the garbage, she's smiling over there behind that. I can tell. I can tell you're smiling. And it ain't funny. No, I'm not even beginning to suggest if your kid doesn't take the garbage out or your kid has a dirty room, they're not going to heaven. That's not what I'm saying. But you need to have something that your kid does that makes them feel responsible, that they are contributing to the family in some form, fashion. They're not freeloaders. I think Dave Ramsey was the guy that said his son, I don't know, he must have been about 16 years old, and he came to Dad, to Dave Ramsey and said, Dad, when are you going to buy me a car? And Dave said, I ain't going to buy you a car. Dad, what do you mean you're not going to buy me a car? All my friends have a car. He said, well, let your friends buy you a car. He said, Dad, we're rich. Did y'all see on Facebook the other day, Dave Ramsey selling his house, what is it, 15 million something? Yeah, they've got a couple bucks. But you know what Dave Ramsey's answer was? It's classic. He said, no, son, we're not rich. I am. You ain't got a dime. Reality. Wow. You think if you were a multimillionaire, you'd tell your kid, I ain't going to buy you a car? Now, I'm not wanting you to leave from here today and say, well, preacher said I don't have to buy you nothing. That's not what I said, okay? But responsibility. This is a great passage to study with your kids about this responsibility thing. Colossians chapter 3, 23 and 24. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. My son, I nearly had to just threaten his life to get him to mow the grass. And he would go out there and he knew I'm just a fanatic about making sure, you know, it's mowed good and right, you know, and looks good and trimmed and everything. And my son, you know what he does? He purposely went out there and just skipped around and jumped around and it just looked awful. And you know what he thought would happen? Is exactly what happened. I told him, go to your room. You're useless. And that was the end of that. I made a big mistake. Should have had him out there with toenail clippers clipping the front yard, man, or something. Take some pride in what you're doing. You're doing this as unto the Lord. Kids need to learn responsibility. And who are you doing it for? Whatever you do, if you're a garbage collector or you're a doctor, your job, you do it like you're doing it for the Lord. That has to be taught. That has to be taught. A child is not born with that. You reap what you sow. Son, I told you not to drink. Now you're drinking, and now you're out driving a car and you have a wreck. There's consequences to that. There's consequences. It's easy to be good around good people. Man, what is the deal? Parents just don't seem to have a clue and or loss as the fact that they have no control over who their teens' friends are. That is a major deception. You mean you're going to let your daughter go out with this guy that you don't know anything about at all? What philosophy are you following? What girls is your son taking out? Is she well known in the school for something you don't want your son to be around? What do you mean you don't have a choice? What do you mean you can't say no? The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Kids need to know how serious sin is. I'm afraid that so many today, our teenagers are growing up in the church, and because they go to church, because they go to Bible class, and they're basically good kids, they don't really think that they've ever done anything wrong. You're a 16, 17-year-old kid, and you've never, ever done anything wrong? I tell you what the problem is. You don't know what sin is. And parents, you need to be teaching your kids about what sin is. I told you this little story about my son. My son was probably 10 or 11 years old, something like that. We had a gospel meeting. This is when we lived next. We lived in the parsonage. And we had been to a gospel meeting, and Ron Daly, this like 6'6" fella, just thin as a rail, had arms 8 foot long and fingers 6 foot long. And my son was sitting on the front row, and that brother was preaching, and he was pointing right at my son. He was preaching about sin, and I could see my son sitting there, and he was just like terrified. He was just terrified. On the way home that night, my son says, "Dad, man, I almost got baptized tonight." I said, "Really? What's holding you back?" He said, "Well, I couldn't think of a single sin I'd committed." And my wife and I looked at each other and said, "Well, why about us name a few?" You know what it dawned on me? Kids don't know what sin is. You may have a teenager that don't have a clue as to what sin is. Who are they going to learn that from? Well, you'd think they're listening in church, right? Preacher talked about that, right? And yet we have teen after teen after teen after teen. And I'm not saying you have to obey the gospel when you're a teenager. All I'm saying is that do they know the seriousness of what sin is? When are you going to teach them if you don't teach them by the time at least they're teens? You tell them how much God loves them. One thing that I have seen with teens that's just undeniable, they need to know somebody loves them. I've met some really, really great teenagers. This lesson doesn't really paint teenagers as very good people. And that's a broad stroke. Because some of the best people I've ever met in my life are teens. Dedicated, sincere, honest people. Great people. And those people always know that God loves them. And I tell you, another common characteristic amongst those is that their parents don't mind telling them that they love them. Your son, you're just cringing because he's going to take out the family vehicle, and you're just like on pins and needles. And you've told them how to drive. You've taught them how to drive. You've warned them. You did all of this. And they go out, and their first time out, they're in Rogersville, and they're not paying attention. And they just crunch and just tear that vehicle all to pieces. And you as a father just go berserk. You just go like ballistic because your kid wrecked the car, and it was his fault. Without thinking about that he could have died in the wreck. He didn't. He survived. But all you can see is the metal, and it can be replaced. And not hugging your son and saying, "I'm so thankful you were not hurt. Yes, you made a mistake. You messed up. But I love you, and I'm glad you're okay. The insurance will take care of the wreck." A lot of dads can't do that. A lot of moms can't do that. You have got to learn to love your teens. Because more than anything, they need your love. And they need God's love. And they need to know above all that you care for them deeply. You know why we say becoming a Christian is the most important thing you ever do? It's because becoming a Christian is the most important thing you ever do. And as parents, if you don't teach your children that point, you have failed. Being a parent is tough. Being a parent of a teenager is the toughest. But you can do it with God's help. And as Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I hope and pray as parents you'll not give up. You'll not be discouraged. But you'll be more than determined to teach your children, to help your children. They're going to make mistakes. Don't throw them away because they make one mistake, or two mistakes, or 10. Don't ever throw them away. Help them. Love them. Teach them. And just think back when you were a teen. Remember that? I'm glad my parents didn't just throw me away. I was a pain. Probably you were too. If you're here today and need to obey the gospel, we want to encourage you to become a Christian. It's the most important thing you ever do. And if you're a child of God but you haven't lived the way you ought, we can pray with you and pray for you. Going to heaven is just all there is. Let's do all we can to help our kids get there. If we can help you in any way, won't you come as we stand and sing?